Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Morning.
So I noticed, you noticed last week that Neil, our fantastic producer, we got our 50-minute thing down to, it was 24 minutes last week. It's getting week by week. Neil's
boring. Don't like that.
He doesn't talk like that. He's not from Manchester. He doesn't talk like that.
Where's he from? Fucking
take the piss out of my producer.
He does talk like that.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, boring.
That's not...
It's fine. I love
that. That's my Auntie Judy you're doing there. You can't use the same one for...
Don't get me started on Auntie Judy.
He's from Manchester. We love him.
Oh, Auntie Judy.
He's everybody's favourite auntie. So, it's getting shorter and shorter. Neil, is there a reason for this?
Please say it's because you're boring.
No, you gave me permission to take Paris out, so I took the whole Paris out.
Oh, right.
I could have left it.
We did a Paris as a shithole
segment. But we also took out the stuff about the pronunciation of atrophy, which was my entire column. And at the end, the plug said, if you're interested in this, hear Esther and Giles arguing about the pronunciation of atrophy in the podcast. And then it wasn't in. And I was
it's not Neil's fault.
Wondering what was in. That's all.
I don't think Neil reads
the newspaper. Why would we bother to sit here for 45 minutes if Neil's just going boring,
can't get it
boring,
right every week.
Boring.
Can't and get end it right every week. And also, P.S., once you know what you're going to write about, you could just, like, drop him a text going, by the way, I'm going to do my column on this, so leave it in. Yeah, Neil's agreeing with me. Yeah, he's finger in the air. Yes, Esther, he's saying.
Work. I'm not going to start sending emails. Okay, what about... are you fit for your age?
Okay, I can answer that. No.
Yeah, but...
No, I read that and I was quite alarmed, actually.
Did you just go, no?
Well, so the first one, which is the standing on one leg one, easy.
You've leapt in immediately. They won't know what you mean. The first one, the first what. You have to set up a thing to talk about on a podcast.
Okay. So
in are you fit
times...
for your age? Asks the front of the Times. In we go. No one expects you to clock up a 4-minute mile, but how fast can you run 5K? It's one of the ways you can assess your health relative to your peers. Here's how to rank your own fitness by...
Oh, P to B, obviously.
Of course. It's basically tests. How good is your endurance? How mobile are you for your age? And, you know...
The question, how fast can you run 5K? I mean, I could not run 5 kilometres. Absolutely no way I could run 5K. I could walk it fast and that's it.
No, because you'd all go wobble, wobble, jangle, jangle, wouldn't you? And you've never really got any running form. But I looked at it and I thought,
I've got no running form. My boobs are too big and I can't be bothered to go and buy a sports bra, so it's just not going to happen.
There's no such thing as boobs that are too big.
There's boobs that are too big for running, let me tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly, it's qualified. Boobs that are too big
for running. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So look, I thought we should do this because I wonder, is this really the test of how fit you are? I haven't done any fitness stuff now for about a year. I play a little bit of five, but I used to run a bit. And I look and it says in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And so, for example, the running of a mile. Do a 5K park run?
No.
Sorry, Hammer. Sit upright in a chair. Oh, that sounds doable.
The getting up from the floor, cross-legged, get up from the floor without using your knees, your hands. Can you do that? I do slightly wonder if I can do that or not.
Well, look, why don't we go through this thing and see? Because the expectation...
Oh, he's taking his sweater off. He's getting...
warming. I mean, basically, I get sweaty talking, so... So how well can you balance in your 20s and 30s, okay? The test. Time how long you can stand on one leg without wobbling. Do it with your eyes open and near a wall, as opposed to standing in a field with your eyes closed. Mm-hmm. Progress to doing it with your eyes closed! Okay, what it tells you, balance nose dives from our 50s onwards, and with the decline, the risk of falls and fractures rises. Okay, So we should do it now.
Okay.
Okay, good. It's 45 plus seconds. All
okay,
right.
Okay, fine. So let's time it.
Nearly.
Oh, you
can
time it. Yeah. Okay, amazing.
Okay.
Without wobbling.
Yeah. So you have to do it like that.
You don't have to do it like that. That's
time how long? Do it with your eyes open. The woman in the picture has got like pointy yoga hands and one foot like that.
You don't have to do tree pose. You just stand on one leg.
Well, I'm going to do tree pose.
Okay, say go.
Go.
It was without wobbling. Fuck off laughing.
You are really making things hard for yourself by doing that.
No, I'm wearing slippers. Are you supposed to wear slippers in the picture? She's...
The guy online, they illustrated online with a guy just holding his...
What do they mean by not wobbling?
You're very wobbly, darling.
Fuck off.
Well, because you've made it so hard for yourself.
Well, fuck off. Don't tell me how to stand on one leg. This is fine.
Of course it's fine.
So are you feeling any pain in your ankle?
No.
You're feeling a kind of slight throbbing in your right calf. Your left calf. How comfortable is it meant to be? How long is this, Neil? Is this like a day?
That's 40 seconds.
How long have I got to do it for?
I think you've done it. I think you're good.
It's 45 seconds.
In your 40s? No, but you keep on going. I'm going to do the good score for 20s and 30s. Wait, wobble.
You're wobbling.
No, fuck off. I suppose I'm reading a paper. Now, fuck.
Gone.
Now that's... Okay. So, I'm not going to die. So I can do that. Next one. How good is your muscular endurance? Do the burpee challenge. Fuck off.
I don't want to do that.
How mobile are you? The test. Sit on the floor with legs crossed and get back up without the help of your hands or knees. If you can stand up without using a hand, forearm, knee, side of a leg or hand, you score a perfect 10. 5 points for sitting, 5 points for standing. If you use any of these for support, subtract 1 point each time. It's a maths test. Subtract a half point if you were wobbly sitting or standing. Okay, should we do that?
I'm not sure I can do that very well, but yeah, sure.
Sit on the floor with legs crossed and get
you
back up
cross your legs
without the help of your hands or knees. What? Now stand up doing what? That?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. You just stood up?
Yeah.
And what am I not allowed to use?
Anything. You've got to do it like I did. See? Yeah, so cross things.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Do you want a hand?
No! No, it's my... Ow! It's my right knee. And I bang my head. If I do that, does that count? Oh!
You get a point off for using your knee.
There we are.
Yeah, well done, darling. That's brilliant.
Oh, man.
But you're good at other stuff, like carrying luggage.
Okay, so I scored literally nothing on mobile. Sit in the middle of a hard-backed dining chair. Arms folded across the chest.
Uh-huh.
You do it as well.
Oh, okay.
And feet flat on the floor.
Yep.
Shoulder width apart. Raise yourself to a full standing position. Knees straight. Oh, this is for the 70s plus.
Well, look,
I was going to say, look, I can stand up out of my fucking chair. I'm very fit for a 70-year-old, so all I have to do is sit here.
Okay.
Just not deteriorate over the next 16 years. And
not,
I'll be fine.
Not deteriorating.
How
is my...
healthy are your upper body muscles? The dead hang is a test of your grip power.
I could not do that.
We have to. That I can do.
That I can't do. I couldn't do that. I would let go in like 1 second.
We've got nothing to hang from.
We haven't got anything to hang from. I would just... I cannot do that.
Basically, so my thinking was, this is all bullshit. How do you really test if you're fit
yes,
for your age?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So I would want to say, are you... And fit for what, exactly? Mm-hmm. So can you write a 1,200-word column in 2 hours without shitting yourself?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep, very good.
That's a good one.
And also, it is interesting, right? Because my mother has never taken an exercise class or done any sort of formal exercise at all. And she's 84 this year. And she is so fit and mobile and healthy and in such good nick. And I don't think when she was my age, she could have done a park run. Do you know what I mean? But she's very active and does gardening and walks everywhere and stuff. And she could never do a dead hang. I just think it's faintly bollocks, all this sort of stuff.
Oh, it is all entire bollocks. Is what things can you actually do? Can you
do something about traffic? Because you're so exercised about the traffic at the moment. How about, like, can you get your kid home from school?
Can you get out of the car in a traffic jam? Put the handbrake on, run to the front of the queue to find out just what the fuck's going on, shout at the road workers.
Yeah, there, great.
Come back, get in your car thing.
Yeah.
It's like, can you get your old telly to the skip up the, to the what's it called, the recycling depot, get it up the shelf, throw it over the thing.
Yeah, you know. Rather than having to dump it at the corner like everybody does. Everyone, it just, yeah, I was talking to the, I was talking to the Veolia guys the other week, and once there was that experiment, the broken window thing, where anyway, that's too complicated.
It's really weird.
Basically, something like one person leaves like an old fridge at the corner, and then like 1,000 people just go, "Ooh, it's dump day," and they all kind of dump their old crap. Anyway, so can you get it to the actual municipal dump rather than at the corner? I'm very annoyed about fly tipping on the corner of our street. Don't rub your eyes in despair.
I'm not.
What else? Okay, that's quite good. Do you have the energy to actually read your
hanging
children?
Pictures? So look,
oh yeah, hanging pictures.
Can you
that's
hang
a good
picture
one.
On a wall without falling off a stepladder?
Yeah.
Your arms in the air so that all the blood sort of runs away while your wife is going, oh, like down a bit. Actually, no, left.
Oh, I hate hanging pictures.
You know, bam, 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 hanging up a picture or drilling it with the drill, the thing going in without the dust. Plaster dust coming out and getting in your eye and dropping the drill and drilling a hole in your knee. Mm-hmm. These are more useful things than standing up without using your hands, because you have hands, for example. If you didn't have hands, useful test.
Yeah. What's the other kind of a sweaty nightmare thing that you need to be quite fit to do?
Sex.
Yeah, all of that. And then what else? Changing bed sheets without getting into a real tiz, real sort of sweaty tiz.
The duvet, turning it inside out. Anyway, let's move on.
Oh, you've had enough of that, have you?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
No, I think that's a great column, but you do need to sit down for a bit and work out what it is that you're going to... Because that's funny. That is funny, and I think people like it when you go off on the one of those kind of...
Basically,
real,
like... angry. You're angry about the ridiculous things it's asking if you can do, so let's make it a bit more real-world-based.
Yeah. The things that matter. Beards!
Okay.
Today's paper, page 39, beards. This is quite the leap. Quite the cognitive leap, but it's a story about Gillette. So Procter & Gamble has cut its annual profit forecast following a write-down in the value of its Gillette business. And what does Gillette make?
Gillette. They make razors.
Thank you. Okay, so Gillette, but do you know what Gillette
is the
used
story
to make?
Going to be that people have beards now and
you
don't
know
shave?
Do you know what Gillette used to make?
Swords.
Yes!
A bit like Wilkinson's sword.
Yes, exactly. They used to make swords. Okay, fine. So
you're saying that dueling went out of fashion... So, and swords in wars. So they started making razors.
Like
and now...
Swarovski. Swarovski, who make crystals for rifle sights and for other weapons of mass destruction, they needed to sort of change their business a bit or just kind of diversify. They're like, we're really good at cutting crystal. What else can we make out of crystal? I know, teeny weeny animals that you can sell at the airport to businessmen so they can buy them for their children. I had so many. When my dad used to work in the Middle East, I just got like rabbits and cats and all sorts of stuff. You look unbelievably angry.
I can't
angry.
Believe we're not, we've left the razors already. So what is the story? The story is that companies lost money because people aren't buying razors because they're not shaving because of lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. Post-pandemic change in habits. And this is basically a really great opportunity for you to write your kind of once every 5 years piece about beards. So you had a beard when no one else had a beard, and then everyone else had beards. And now everyone else has still got beards. Have you got anything to say about beards? Well, have you noticed that people... I notice a bit of a change. I think people are starting to shave again.
The thing with beards is... So it's a bit depressing that they're losing money because people are growing beards because they're not going out. Because it suggests that they're not shaving out of laziness rather than because beards are sort of in some way great or cool. Mm-hmm. So they're not talking, you know, the kind of beard of the 19th century with a point and a big curly moustache would be more effort than just slashing your face off. I stopped shaving in the late 90s when everybody was clean shaven just because partly I had stopped going to an office where they would expect you to shave, but also because it just gave you a terrible rash. Those razors when you shave wet and
horrid,
scrape it down.
But also a beard kind of suits you. Without a beard, your face is all out of kilter.
Well, that suggests like I haven't got a chin.
No, you do, yeah, you have got a chin. You've just got a very, very fat neck. Not a fat neck,
that's
a wide
really
neck.
That's really horrid. What do you mean a fat neck? That's like saying you've got fat tits.
You told me the other day
you've got
I had
lovely
a fat
big
bum.
Boobs, okay? But
you
they,
told me
if
I had
said
a fat
you've
bum.
Got fat boobs.
You told me I had
I
a big
said you
bum.
Had a big bum.
Yeah,
you said there was a fat bum. Since there's a fat bum, you could say I've got a big neck, I've got a thick neck, I've got a strong neck, a fat neck.
This is going rapidly downhill.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Saying I need to, I have to have a beard so to separate my flabby face from my fat neck, or I look like Jabba the Hutt. So it's like fucking putting a beard scribble on a balloon, so that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's not the case. It's true that if I don't shave, there is a suggestion that it's just a penis sticking up, an erect cock with hair on top sticking
up. I've been trying to sass my way out of your bad mood, and it's not really working.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okie dokie, what do you like next? I've got the Wetherspoon drinking game. Men's attitudes towards health. And the story is that men live less long than women because they don't go to the doctor. It's kind of an old story, but there's been a new study on it.
Men's health views cost years of life, MPs are told. Macho and fatalistic attitudes towards their health means that men are living shorter lives than women. Fathers often pass down unhelpful attitudes to their sons. Life expectancy at birth in the UK is lower for men. Men don't go to the doctor. This guy suggests that male dominance at the top of many sectors masks problems for men. This is what I think is interesting in lower socioeconomic groups. People look at the fact that there are more male billionaires, there are more male MPs, there are more male company chief executives. And that's the thing that you get when you read the paper. Men, men, men. Men of the, there should be more women in the FTSE chairmanships. There should be more women running this, more women running that. Men have everything. Men, men, men. Too many men MPs. But that's just a small visible thing at the top, as it points out. But actually, there are, in the lower social strata, there are more men in contact with the criminal justice system, more men sleeping rough, more men dying from suicide, more male drug addicts. The point is, I think this is about the sort of feminization of society, the perfectly right feminist takeover of all sorts of
controversy.
There you go. You're just always ill. I'm not, is the point.
Fucking sneezed.
I'm just saying. Oh, what an irony. The woman sneezed while the man was trying to have this story. Because women are the ones who actually think they're ill all the time. And this is this thing. This is this fucking man flu thing, basically. This is this joke in which people in the media are entirely complicit. It is, oh, touch of man flu, is it? If you hear on the radio a man and woman, if you were to hear on the Today programme, Amal Rajan and Martha Carney would be on, and he would be on, he's ill, oh, got a touch of man flu, and they'd laugh. I don't know if those particular ones would laugh, but there's this okay thing to go, man flu, and men, the kind of men who would wear, this is what a feminist looks like t-shirts, your kind of Benedict Cumberbatch or Nick Clegg man would go, who would put a touch of man flu? But it's not a thing, as you know. I'm not a hypochondriac. I don't get ill. I don't overdo my illnesses. Men don't. A trope has built up where men are hypochondriacs, and this is stopping men going, and men are dying because of it. This thing where women are great. Men were once the warriors and the wage earners and the defenders. They've lost that role. We know that. I'm not talking about a kind of Andrew Tate, Jordan Peterson thing where they lost male agency. I just mean that In the stripping away of men's masculinity in order to make room for women at the top of society, we've allowed the world to characterise men as hypochondriacs and man flu, and men don't really get ill, and you get gynecologists, but there's no fucking man ecologist. Or women, the whole health system is skewed towards women. Oh, women have to be healthy.
No. That's not true.
Women, no, but with all the pregnancy and birth and babies and breast cancer screenings everywhere. Oh, come and have a breast cancer screening. Nothing about prostates. Nothing about testicles.
What do you mean?
Fine.
But you have to get your facts straight. There's lots of prostate screenings.
No, but prostate. No, there aren't. There are blood tests which don't really work. There's a finger prick blood test which gives you your PSA levels, and if they're higher than 4, ooh, you should have a scan. And then they've got a handful of rusty old scanners that don't really work.
It's absolutely the same for breast cancer screening. They don't start screening for breast cancer until you're 50. It's not like the system doesn't work so much better for women than it does for men. The NHS is. It does its best, but, you know, it's not brilliant for either. I mean, there's been loads and loads of stories about how cancers across the board have been missed out by the NHS because of COVID, and also because it's just a massive...
So why do you think men aren't going to the doctor?
Because I think... And I think it's... I don't think it's a recent thing. I mean, you talk about a crisis of masculinity and men have been stripped of their masculinity. I just don't agree that that's a recent thing. I think that men have struggled with their masculinity for an awfully long time. I don't think men were particularly... I don't think men have ever been sort of okay, really, with being men. That's why they drink too much and take drugs and do themselves in. I think that men are incredibly conflicted about all sorts of things and always have been. And that's the weight. And that is the male, that's the male psychological state. And that is your pain. And that is why you get more men occupying the top bit and you get more men occupying the bottom bit. Whereas you get women sort of broadly in the middle. I don't think this can possibly be a modern problem. It cannot possibly be a modern problem that men do not want to go to the doctor. It just can't be. But I do think a lot of men over a certain age, I think a lot of them are very, very, very scared, and I would be too, that if they go to the doctor over a certain age, someone's going to stick their finger up their bum.
They don't do that anymore, though.
I think that men think that they do.
Oh, well, I think men would secretly like that.
No, I don't.
I think men would go in the hope of getting a finger stuck up their bum. I certainly did when I went with my prostate.
You're a very original, weird person.
I went to see Dr. Johnson and I said, I've got something with my prostate. And I sort of went to pull my pants down and he went, well, we have a blood test. I went, oh, what? And he said, and then when I had the blood test and he said, yeah, it is a raised PSA. You may have an enlarged prostate. And I went to pull my pants down. And he said, no, you're going to have to go for a scan. And I said, a scan? And he said, yes. And then he said, I could... put my finger up there, and I went to reach for my pants and looked at, but he wasn't reaching for his rubber gloves to snap them on. He said, I could put my finger up there, but as I've never put my finger up there before, I won't know if your prostate was any bigger than it had been.
Right.
So you'll have to go for a scan. And I just went, you just don't want to put your finger up my bum, do you? And he didn't, and they don't anymore, so no.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe my comment should be to tell men that they not
maybe,
to,
yeah. maybe. But before you went... I don't know how serious you're being about this, but before you went, you thought, maybe he'll stick his finger up my bum. And I think over a certain age, men who perhaps, you know, they've noticed a change in their kind of urination or whatever, if they hear the word prostate and they think, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want someone's finger up my bum. Let's be real. We're talking about Murphy's lorry drivers, right? They are not going to want to go to the GP to have a finger up the bum, okay? Metrosexuals like you may look forward to it and have a little drink in preparation. But generally speaking,
I've got my own KY.
Your average...
It's pomegranate scented.
Your average bloke is not going to want that.
It's because they think, and that's what it was with my dad, they think that what they're going to do is they're going to take your prostate out and you'll be impotent. And that's what men worry
all
about.
All of that.
Men get in their 50s, they worry they're going to be rendered impotent and not be able to have sex with the women who won't have sex with them anyway because they don't like invasive procedures. So it's a sort of self-fulfilling.
An invasive. Okay, fine. Look, but also, what men they know that the doctor is going to say, stop drinking so much, stop eating so much, and do something else boring and inconvenient.
UK to jump Q to the moon.
Oh God, not more moon.
Yeah,
bollocks.
It's a moon landing.
Moon stuff is so boring.
Yes, private mission could speed British astronauts to the moon. The UK can bump its astronauts to the head of the queue for trips to the moon. And I thought, first of all, I was thinking, well, what would a British trip to the moon look like? And then I thought, barging the queue is not the point.
No!
We'd want people who wouldn't.
Exactly.
The British would go, I'm so sorry, after you, to the moon.
Yeah. I was reprimanded at the weekend by two very tall teenagers at the Cocklebarrow races because they were standing there like idiots, not asking for what they wanted at the queue for the candy floss. And I said to the guy who was standing there, and they weren't asking him for what they wanted, and I said... So I went, hi, can I have 2 bags of candy floss, please? And he went, yeah, fine, that'll be £1 million. And I went, yeah. And then one of the teenagers muttered under his breath, I think you'll find that, like, we were here first, actually. I didn't know what to say, so I said nothing and just walked off with my candy floss.
Well, you'll be barging the queue to the moon, then? Which is the
story.
Well,
if everybody else is standing around not doing anything, then yeah, sure, why not? Except I don't want to go to the moon, it sounds weird.
4 British astronauts will travel into space together after a deal was signed between the UK Space Agency and Axiom, a Houston firm.
Can you imagine how fit you'd have to be to get selected to go to the moon?
You think you'd have to be able to stand up off a kitchen floor without using your hands?
Well, there's no gravity! There's no gravity.
I can go to the moon because I'll be able to stand up.
Yeah, but you have to do all sorts of other things. Like you have to be able to... Oh, God, they make them run on track. You have to be so fit. Okay, although, you've got plenty of muscles, so the muscle wastage won't bother you because you've got...
And
like,
it'd be
spare.
Nice to have all my food in a pill for a change and not in stupid fucking tasting menu. Did you see the story that birds parrot each other and turn the zoo's air blue? Swearing is neither big nor clever, but if you're a parrot, it can be catching.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why a wildlife park solution to the problem of colourful language spoken by a handful of its birds is fraught with danger. Lincolnshire Wildlife Park is reintroducing its problem parrots to the flock in the hope that their profanities will be drowned out by others. However, there's a risk that hundreds of other birds will start repeating the swear words parrot fashion. So basically, Lincolnshire Wildlife Park, near Skegness, has 5 African greys, Billy, Tyson, Eric, Jade and Elsie.
Go on.
They've been removed from display for 3 months for swearing at visitors. So they've got these parrots, you go, who's a pretty boy then? And they go, fuck off.
Hey, fuck off.
Fuck off. Fuck off, you wanker, says the parrot. So they've decided to try and put them back in the parrot flock, right? So that they relearn parrot and they start going, wah, wah. Instead, I just think they're going to end up with 500 parrots all going, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, you wanker.
Yeah.
And then the point is they'll expect, then the parrots will fly off and it'll capture the wild parakeet community.
Starlings.
Well, parakeet community, because of which we have thousands of here. And then all the parrots on Hampstead Heath and everywhere all over London will start saying, fuck off. Yeah, and then the starlings, and then the pigeons. And we'll be living in a world where you just wake up in the morning and someone goes, fuck, you fucking wanker, get out of bed, you fucking
Although,
lazy
is it,
twat.
Okay.
And you open the window and it's just a pigeon.
Is there something in what would birds be saying if they could... talk, or is that dull?
Oh, it's a fucking cat. Fuck.
Yeah,
cat. Look at that fucking cat. Ooh, that's a tasty looking dog shit, but I can't go and eat it because there's a fucking cat there.
Get the fuck off my branch.
Well,
good fucking
down
morning.
There. I'm sorry, I can't hold it anymore. Oh, sorry.
Good fucking morning. Good fucking night. Good night. I'm
Turn
going to
off
now.
The fucking street lights. It's 3 a.m. and I want to get some sleep.
Yes, 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 yes. That's funny. Well, you could do both together, couldn't you? You could do a kind of...
Hang on, what's that? Is that an...
Carol Midgley has addressed this today, though. It's the only problem.
Has she?
Yeah, in TT.
She's got a potty mouth, Midgley.
Has she?
Yeah.
IRL.
Yeah. Why? What she said? She says she made all those jokes.
I actually didn't read it. I don't know if she's made any of those jokes. But
you haven't read Carol yet.
No.
Well, pass me the paper. What's Carol done?
Well, she's done the birds. She's done rude pigeons. Rude parrots, sorry.
It's in T2 though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
is it not there? Oh, I've taken it out to read
the
fashion.
No, because it's the ladies' section.
No, that's not today's.
Right, doesn't matter what Carol wrote.
Okay,
right. I won't do that. Okay. I mean, look, I feel we're coming to the end of our time without having delivered anything Neil concerning to a podcast, but fuck him. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.